This is what you do to prepare your spirit. Now, man's a threefold being. So what do you do to prepare your soul? What do you do to prepare your soul? Well, again, it goes back to that thing about the clean hands and the pure heart. So look at the Hebrews chapter 12, bless your heart. It says, pursue peace, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people. If you're upset with somebody, or if you got a fight with somebody, then you need to solve it immediately. You need to solve it immediately. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to solve it immediately. Immediately. That means right now. See? If you got a problem with anybody, you need to get it solved right now. And most people you can do this with. See? Most situations you can do this with. Or you can do it very quickly within a day or two. But you need to pursue peace with all people. You know, if you you pick up a phone. It says, you know, humble words, meek words. You know, get rid of wrath. Can't exactly think of how the verse reads right now. But I think it's in Proverbs chapter 15 where it says, humble words or meek words, you know, get rid of the wrath of man. Let me try to find it in my Bible right now. So come up a little bit. I think it's in Proverbs chapter 15. But you see, if you want to handle a situation, you want to bring peace in that situation, then you have to humble yourself. Yeah, there it is. Verse 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, this is how you pursue peace with all people. Somebody's all upset with you, they're all mad at you, and you just humble yourself. You just humble yourself to them. You tell them that you're sorry. See, even if you haven't done anything wrong, you know, tell them you're sorry anyways. Because, you know, you're in a fight with them or you've upset them somehow. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, I remember one time I was a LA gang member, Los Angeles gang member, who wanted to fight me. Got really mad at me. He got me in this parking lot, and he was not going to let me go until I started fighting him. And he kept pushing me and shoving me and calling me names and this and that. And you know what I kept doing? I kept telling him that Jesus loved him. I tell him that God loved him. And every time I said, Jesus loves you, it would be like somebody slapped him in the face. I mean, he would literally stumble back because of the power of God. You know, and all I was doing was speaking a soft answer. A soft answer kept turning away his wrath. I mean, even physically turning this guy away from pushing me, from trying to he wanted to destroy my truck, he wanted to rip my door off, all this kind of stuff. This is at 6 in the morning on a Monday morning. It was an interesting situation. This guy pursued me. I mean, he really wanted to get me, but he wouldn't, I wouldn't fight him. And all I did was I kept telling him that God loved him. I kept telling him that Jesus loved him. I told him I loved him. And that really, you know, each time I spoke those words, he physically fell back, you know, until finally he gave up, and I told somebody to call the police, and then he decided he better leave. But you see, a soft answer turns away wrath. This is why you got to pursue peace with all men. This is how you prepare your soul to be able to deal with people, to be able to minister healing. See, just pursue peace with all people and holiness. You got to pursue holiness, not only with God, but with other people. See, you know, if I've sinned against someone, if I've said or I've done something wrong, you know, then I gotta pursue holiness with him. I gotta get things right. See. I got to pursue holiness with him. And you see, holiness is not only vertical, it's horizontal. Peace is not only vertical, but it's horizontal. See, it's with people. It's with holiness with people as well as holiness with God. See? And then it says, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, this verse is not talking about salvation. This is not a salvation verse. This is a verse about seeing the hand of God. about seeing the hand of God, about seeing the Lord, not only literally seeing him in Revelation, but also seeing his hand in miracles and signs and wonders, like it says in Mark chapter 16. You see, it says in Mark chapter 16, in verse 20, it says, "And they went out everywhere." They went out and preached everywhere. "The Lord working with them." Remember, supernatural? Supernatural? Mark 16, 20. "The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." See, I always look for miracles. Wherever I preach, wherever I teach, wherever I minister, I want to see the miracles. Because if I'm not seeing miracles, then there's a problem somewhere. See? And there's a problem somewhere, and I got to see him, because if the Lord only confirms his word, see, and I have to be in alignment with him, I have to be walking with him, or else I'm not going to see anything, because he's the super and I'm the natural, and the supernatural have to flow together, see, in order for this thing to come to pass. And so I look for it everywhere I go. I want to hear about the miracles. I want to see miracles. And if I don't see them, if I don't see accompanying signs and wonders, then I got a question about whether I was in the will of God or not. See? I don't blame anybody else. I blame me. Because it's me and him together that's going to produce these things. That's right. And if I'm in alignment, I don't have any problem with him. But if I'm in alignment, then we're going to see this stuff come to pass. This is why you pursue peace, not only vertically, but horizontally. You pursue holiness, not only vertically, but horizontally, so that I can see the Lord, so that I can see his hand, so that I can see his power. See? Now, look at James. This is preparation. This is how you prepare to be able to effectively minister healing. And again, they never taught me in the healing class that I took, you know, the prayer team class that I took, man, you know, the whole thing there was, you know, just don't offend anybody. Don't say anything stupid. Makes people leave. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you're learning much more, and in your preparation, you're beginning to see how big this thing is and what's required of you so that you become an effective minister of Jesus Christ. You just can't live like the devil 6 days out of the week, then come to church on Sunday and expect to see signs, miracles, and wonders and walk in the power of God. It doesn't work like that. That's right. It doesn't work like that. I mean, there may be one in a million occasions that kind of grace happens. But it doesn't work like that, generally speaking. That's right. And those people who try to live on grace like that, they don't live that way very long, because your sins will always find you out, the Word of God says. You can be the biggest televangelist on TV and everything else, and the Bible still is true. Your sins will find you out, the Word of God says. So the best thing to do is get rid of them. And don't have them in the first place. That's the best thing to do. But if you got them, then get rid of them. Deal with them. So that they don't have to come and find you out. Because they will. So, you prepare. Now look at James chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore, therefore, lay aside," this is sitting good, yeah? "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." I used to love the King James translation where it said superfluity of naughtiness. I just love that phrase for some reason. I think I understood that from my old unsaved days, that I was in a superfluity of naughtiness. Hallelujah. It says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, you know, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. You see, you can't be such a spirit guy that you don't think that you need to read the Bible. You know, I've had pastors in Africa come up to me and say, "Kevin, we don't need the Bible anymore because we got the Spirit." And I didn't laugh in their face. See, I laughed about it afterwards, because that was a pretty dumb thing to say. But you need the Spirit and the Word. Remember, Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." You got to have both. You got to receive both. So you got to spend time reading and studying the Word. Reading and studying the Bible. Not just books about the Bible, and not just what some man wrote about the Bible, but what does the Word say itself? You know, you got to become as familiar with Ephesians, Philippians, Gospel of John, you know, Ezekiel, Psalms, as you are with your local newspaper, see? Or as you are with the TV channels that you listen to and follow regularly, or whatever it is you do. You've got to become as familiar with that, with the Word of God and the individual books in the Word and the individual words in the Word, as you are with, you know, with anything else in your life, because it's your life. This Word is life. This Word is life, and it imparts life to you. That's why we're to lay aside all filthiness and the other stuff, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, the engrafted Word, King James said, which is able to make your soul whole, able to heal you. See, you're like a puzzle with pieces missing. You know, you ever had that 500 or 1,000 piece puzzle, and you try to put it together, and you come up, and you're like two pieces short. You know, I mean, the dog ate them, or the kid tore it up, or whatever it is. You lost those two pieces. Well, you're missing some. Your puzzle is not whole. See? And that's what you and I are. Without the Word of God, we're like a puzzle with pieces missing. See? And the Word of God comes and fills those pieces. He fills those gaps. He fills those areas in our life so that we become whole in our souls. Bless God forever. And you see, this is absolutely, you got, what's in you is going to come out. If you're hurt, if you're all wounded, if you're all torn up on the inside, what's in you is going to be imparted to somebody else. See, you have to have a measure of healing. You have to have a measure of wholeness. You have to have a measure of soundness in you so that you can impart that, see, to others. Because what's in you comes out, either good or evil. What is in you comes out. What's in you comes out. See? That's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See? So this is why you got to get an abundance of the Word into you. You got to get an abundance of the Word into you on a daily basis. And you got to pray much in tongues. And then you got to pursue peace. Both horizontally, you know, both vertically and horizontally. You got to pursue holiness both vertically and horizontally. See? So that when the time comes to minister to someone, then you've got an abundance. You're settled. You don't have to go pray for 3 hours. See, to get your life right before you go to minister to somebody. You can just sit down and go right to work. See? Because life is like that. You know, you got to be ready at all times. You know, and if you're walking in the Spirit and you're preparing with God and you're walking with Him, then He's going to prepare you. This is something you can hang your faith hat on. If you'll do what you need to do in the morning, listen to me. If you'll pray in tongues, if you'll read the Word in the morning, God will prepare you in the morning for what you're going to face that day. See? He may not prepare you for what you're going to face in 2 weeks, because you need to get prepared for what you're going to face today. Jesus said, you know, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. So, sufficient unto the day is the evil that you got to deal with. So if you, I tell you, if you'll prepare properly in the morning, you'll be prepared for that day, for the things that come up. See, the things where when you need a word of knowledge, it'll be there. When you need prophecy, it'll be there. When you need a gift of healing, it'll be there. See? Because you've prepared yourself. Look at Romans chapter 8. See, this is what the Word says. And this is the truth. And this is why, you know, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it explains why things are the way they are. I just love that, because I've always been a kind of an amateur scientist. I've always been interested in science, and I've always been interested in mathematics, and I've always been interested in engineering, even though I never did any of those things beyond a rudimentary level. And I've always been interested in why things are the way they are. And I love the Bible because it explains why. Hallelujah. And once I understand why, then I can apply it. See, then I can focus. I can fit it in, and it'll work. See? It says, for to be carnally minded is death. What is death? Death is the absence of life. You know, it's like darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Death is the absence of life. Where there's no more life, then there's the state of death. See? And it says, for to be carnally minded. If I'm carnally minded, then there's not going to be any life manifested. There's not going to be any signs, wonders, healings, miracles, blessings, all that stuff that indicates there's not going to be any fruit of the Spirit, all that stuff that indicates life. There's not going to be any joy. There's not going to be any peace. There's not going to be any love. There's not going to be any happiness. See, all those things that indicate life will be absent because I am carnally or I am fleshly minded. See, but to be spiritually minded is life. Life in all of its manifestations, healings, deliverance, miracles, money, finances, all that stuff, you know, divine appointments, you know, fun, happiness, joy, all that good stuff. But to be, if I'm spiritually minded, it says, he that has, you know, a merry heart has continual feast. See? Hallelujah. He that is spiritually minded is life and peace, life, 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 and peace, peace, peace. See, this is why I want to put on the Word. This is why I want the Word to dwell in me. Not Fox News, not, you know, the New York Times, not the Nation, if you're living in Kenya. You know, not the local newspaper or the local gossip. Not, because that stuff is carnal. It doesn't give life. See, I want the Word, I want God's newspaper, the Bible, in my brain. You know, I want God's news channel, the Bible, in my brain. See? And that brings life. If I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to have life and peace. That means life, not only, you know, health and strength, but miracles, divine appointments, needs met, overcoming all things, victory in all things, I can do all things. You know, all those things that God promises, prosperity and health and all that, so it comes when you're spiritually minded, because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See? Hallelujah. So we don't want to be at enmity with God. We want to be in right relationship with Him. We want the super and the natural to flow together in harmony, in union, in oneness. See? So I study the Word. And specifically study the Word regarding healing. You know, I could have taken the time in this tape set to go through the reality of the accomplished work at the cross. But I didn't really think to do that because there's so many people that have done that. And my purpose was to be very practical in the sense of imparting to you how to be an effective minister. I think you know these things. I think you know that by His stripes you were healed. See, we need to know that first of all, but then we also need to know how to bring that into practical living manifestation for people. See, I remember one time I was in Kenya, and I was speaking at a church out in the bush. You know, anything outside the city is called bush. And I was at a place called Lake Baringo, and I'd been preaching there a couple nights at a dear pastor's church. And there was this young woman. The church was a small shed, maybe 25 feet by 25 feet, and we packed in 100, 150 people in there, and we had people on the outside. And I remember it was about 5:30 in the evening. We were getting ready to open the fellowship at about 6 o'clock. And this woman in a red blouse, this young woman in a red blouse, she comes into the church and she's dragging her legs behind her. She's got two crutches and she's dragging her legs behind her. And she drags herself up and then she props herself up with crutches and then she sits down. And the Holy Spirit, I'm up there and I'm praying and I'm reading the Word and I'm getting ready to preach and this kind of thing. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you have an appointment with her afterwards. Now, I knew exactly what he meant. He meant that I was going to minister to her. And so what happened was I began to preach and teach. And I think I went about 2.5 hours where I was preaching on the authority of the believer and showing the verses and this kind of thing. And then it comes time to pray for people. And sure enough, little lady in the red blouse comes dragging herself up. And she's the first one that she's right in front of me. She's the first one up, and she's up there to get healed. And I lay my hands on her. I lay my hands on her. I cupped her head in my hands. I mean, she's just this little gal. And I cupped her head in my hands, you know, practically this little, you know, this little young woman. And as I closed my eyes, I saw a picture of her spine. I saw the vertebrae of her spine, just like an X-ray. Only it was red behind it. It was red behind it. And so I saw these bones, and I recognized those as the lower spine. And I saw the hips. I saw the hip bones, and I saw a red background behind it. And I knew that there was tremendous pain in her hips. And that's why, you know, and this is why she couldn't walk. And so I said, pain in the spine, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Bones in the spine, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I saw that, I saw in my revelation picture that red turned to white. Turned to white. And I opened my eyes, and tears are flowing down her cheeks. Tears are flowing down her cheeks. And I'm speaking to her through a translator, and I say to her, "Are you ready to walk?" And the translator translates that. And she nods her head. She nods her head. And she puts her crutches down, and I take her hands, and I just walk. I step back. I step back, and I'm just supporting her hands. I'm just holding her hands. And I step back, and she takes a step forward, and then she takes another step forward, and then she lets go of my hand. And she's gone. I mean, she walks out, and the whole crowd goes, you know, like that, and they just part like the Red Sea, you know, they're all, you know, and then she walks out, and she walks back in, and she walks back out again, and finally she leaves. And by this time, you know, everybody's getting healed, and after this, you know, I mean, it was just something that people, and I had a pastor come up to me afterwards, and this may have been the greatest healing of all, because he said to me, "Kevin, I have waited 45 years to see the power of God like that. I've waited 45 years to see the power of God like that." And my heart just broke and went out to him, because he'd waited all those years to see what I take for granted, what every believer should take for granted, seeing the power of God. See. But, you know, people have understood the historical Jesus, and they've understood the historical Bible, but they need to see and understand the living Jesus and the living Bible. They need to see the Word of God manifested. They need to see the promises of God fulfilled. And you and I are here to learn how to make the gospel live. How to present to people and demonstrate to people the living reality of Jesus Christ. So, and he needs you to work to cooperate with him so that the Holy Spirit can demonstrate the reality of the living Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. And this is something that so many pastors and so many evangelists and so many other people seem to forget, because they think that the Holy Spirit comes to glorify them. Well, he doesn't come to glorify them. He comes to glorify Jesus. See? And when you walk in the power of God and people get healed, then Jesus gets glorified. And you all know, as you know, from your word, you know that by his stripes you were healed. You know the accomplished work of the cross. You know the work of redemption. But you need to demonstrate, you need to learn how to demonstrate that reality to people. See? And so I encourage you to study the word regarding healing. And I encourage you to fill your mind with God's word so that your expectation is in the Lord. You know, you get so filled with the word that you just have no doubts. So you just get so filled with the word and the spirit that you're just full. You're just ready to overflow. You're just ready to power. You see the power of God work. You know, and memorize verses. You know, you ought to be memorizing verses anyways. I mean, this should be a definite part of your spiritual training on a regular basis. You know, I don't know how many verses I know. But I got verses from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, I got whole chapters. I mean, you know, that I've memorized over the years, and that I continue to quote and continue to work. So, and you need to do the same thing as well. And then let your faith be ruled by the Word. Let your faith be dominated by the Word of God, and not by your experience, or not by someone else's experience. See, maybe you've laid hands on somebody in the past and nothing ever happened. Maybe you laid hands on a lot of people and nothing ever happened. Well, that is going to change. That is going to change if you're serious about learning how to impart healing. You are going to begin to see results. You are going to begin to see results if you'll do what I say. And what I encourage you now is to prepare. To prepare and specifically begin now to pray in tongues an hour every morning. You see, you need to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow so that God can give you more of His Spirit, so that God can give you more of His anointing. You need to grow. And this is one great practical way of growing, is to pray in tongues much and live a holy life. Get filled with the Word. Get filled up with the Word all the time. Stay full of the Word. And pray in tongues. And then you're going to be prepared to be able to be an effective minister of Jesus Christ when it comes to the gift of healing.